Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated January 6th, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, Happy New Year, Asclepius. How's it going?
And thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, Lord Baldrith. It's going well. Had a lovely couple of weeks off. Went down with the family down south for a while. Enjoyed all the grandkids, played board games, and sort of felt fairly relaxed. It's kind of hard to go back to work after that.
Oh yeah, that's great. Sounds like a lot of fun with the family and playing games. That's always fun during a holiday. You can really get to have some fun with your family.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, my son brought down this game called Eldritch Horror. Never heard of it before, but apparently it's quite popular. And he taught us how to play it. Gee, it's a very strange and addictive game. It's awesome.
Oh, that's very cool. Is it like a card game or just a board game?
It's a board game, but it's a cooperative board game. All the players join in cooperatively together, and you're trying to beat the monsters that the game dishes out by means of cards. And it's, you know, sort of turn-based. And it has phases and stuff and cards that you turn over and encounters that you have to survive. Broadly speaking, if you have to survive an encounter with something, if you roll a 5 or a 6, you're going to do well. Anything less than that, you're not. And the object of the game is for the players, collectively, to solve mysteries and defeat the monster.
Oh, wow, that sounds kind of fun, like an RPG on a board.
It is, yeah, very much. And there's a lot of strategizing and say, well, you're pretty strong, so you go there and defeat that monster. I'll go and collect that clue and we'll sort this out together. It's great.
So your characters have strengths and weaknesses?
They do, yes. There are different characters. You can choose, you know, whichever character you want. And yes, they're like any RPG, they have certain characteristics, certain strengths, certain specific abilities, some of which can come in really handy, and some of which you don't use much. But it was really interesting. I loved it.
Well, that sounds like fun. I've never played a game quite like that. I've played some good board games, you know, where you're trying to, like I've played Axis and Allies, where you're trying to, you know, survive the war and things like that. Those are fun.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah, played that one. That's great. Yeah, it was a different experience not to play against the other players. You're playing with them. And I think whoever invented this game must have a twisted and evil mind, because often it happens, you know, so often when you think you're doing well, then you draw the next card from the mythos pack, which is that this is the monster's turn after you've had your turns. Okay, now what's going to happen in the game next? And everything changes and new monsters are spawned, and everybody who has a card with a certain condition on it is going to suffer. And oh dear, we thought we were doing so well.
and then the attack came, huh?
Yeah, we got to calling that the Doom and Gloom deck.
I'll bet you, just as you're almost to figuring out the clues, y'all get killed?
Yeah, well, not all of us, but yeah, and look, you can die, and that's fine, but it is quite within the rules to just pick up another character and keep going, because there are 8 or so characters you can choose from. So, okay, my character died. Well, I'll pick another one and keep going.
Oh, well, that's good. So people can't res you, though, right?
No, they can't res you. No, definitely not.
So no decent healers in the game.
No, that's right. Oh, it's it was good fun. Loved it.
That sounds fun. Did you guys play a whole bunch or just one game of it?
We played 3 or 4 games, and the first game we sort of lost badly. But after that, we sort of worked it out, and yeah, we managed to defeat it. We thought, oh, this is great. It's wonderful when you come up against a challenge like that and actually win.
Well, that almost sounds like, you know, playing our game. You go in there and you try to figure out how to win without all getting killed.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, because as you know, when you're a low-level character, you get, they wipe the floor with you very easily. But, as you get stronger and stronger, it gets easier, and it's lovely.
Oh, that's for sure. I went out exploring with a couple of groups a little while back and went to the Rise for the first time, and that was quite cool.
Oh, that's a fearsome place, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but I loved it because there's a lot of puzzles in there and stuff, so it kind of made me have to think. I like that.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yeah, that'll have to be on my bucket list, but I'll have to go with a few people, though.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go alone. Those creatures are really bad in there.
I know. Although there's one thing I was pleased about. I managed to get through Vorben Pass a few times recently, and that was fighting my way through. I didn't run.
Oh, that's a big, big accomplishment.
I know. I was rather excited. And, so either I've got tougher or they've dumbed down the opposition a little bit. But the Ebon cultists, look, if you just take a few of them at a time, you can knock them over pretty easily.
Well, that's good. I know they've been doing some tweaking on difficulties and up some and down some. So, yeah, maybe it's possible they made some places a little bit more survivable.
Yes, it is possible. So that could well be. But I was pleased about that because I did have to go north. I decided to explore the Path of Love.
Okay, so is that one pretty much complete so you can run it through?
That is complete. And you can run it through, and I did. And it is immensely satisfying. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's really awesome. That's good to know. It's something I need to do then, because I haven't even started on that.
Yeah, oh, it's lovely. It has a very satisfying conclusion, and something that you would expect from Richard Garriott and from the Ultima series, and I will say no more than that.
Well, that's good. We love the whole thing that Richard does with his stories, so that's going to be fun to see.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I can thoroughly recommend it. And in the last hangout, I was pleased they actually answered a question that I asked, because I was hesitant about doing all these quests, because as you know, some of them are half finished, they're a bit broken, all the conversation isn't in, and people are not anxious to have a go at them because they are the three essential quests. And they said, well, they're not going to automatically reset them when the game is officially launched, but there probably will be the ability. So now maybe it will involve talking to the Oracle. I haven't worked that out in stone yet. But if you sorted out these quests, if you had a bit of a go at them and they were broken and they were a bit bitsy and unsatisfying, maybe you'll be able to go to the Oracle when the game is finally launched and say, I would like to do them all again. And they'll wipe all your conversation flags and off you go.
Oh, that's really cool. So yeah, even if you've done them, maybe you do want to do them again, maybe you can do something different.
Well, that's right. And you also wouldn't have the frustration of bits being incomplete and this bit of conversation not being in and not leading you clearly towards the next clue. So I enjoyed it. I found it pretty intuitive. And yeah, I mean, the only stupid thing I did was in the Crypt of the Avatar. You really have to talk to everybody. Don't just talk to one person. You have to talk to everybody. And then you'll be sorted.
Ah, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. And it always pays, as a general principle, to talk to everybody. And then you'll know where you're going.
That's true. This game, that's kind of what they do. They got it, so you got to talk to everyone or you miss something.
Yeah, that's right. So, it's a great adventure and a great journey. And it's well worth it at the end, too.
Was it all solo, or did you have to have some help at all?
It is absolutely solo. I mean, your spirit guide, I was using Samael. He comes along with you. He doesn't do a lot. I mean, he doesn't really do any fighting. So yes, unless you're at a decent level and you don't mind dealing with a whole bunch of hardened skeletons and liches, you will not survive.
Oh yeah, if there's more than one or two of those, that's bad.
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah. I sort of lost count towards the end. And I died a fair number of times, but I was horribly stubborn. And I said, no, I'm going to come back and finish this. So I finally got there.
Well, that's kind of what you have to do with those hardened guys. Just kind of pull them back. You know, that's pretty much your only choice.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, you run to the Ankh and say, right, okay, let's go again, guys.
As long as you don't respawn, we can actually get you guys thinned out a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, if you can take a few down at a time, and if they don't respawn too quickly, you will get there.
Let's get that mage out of the way. That's the thing that really causes you problems.
Oh, yeah. That's for true. That's exactly right. Anyway, it's a new year, and we have another news release, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got update number 209. SOTA voted number one crowdfunded game for 2016. Nice. Canyon Siege, Brookside, Perennial Coast, Blood Bay, and more. That is great. Okay, and first up, we have the making of the Canyon Siege. Have you been into any of the sieges yet?
Actually, I did. I did do a siege a few weeks ago, and it was very basic. And I didn't really know what was going on because my group was kind of knowing what to do, so I just followed along. It was pretty cool.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Anyway, it looks as if they're expanding the scenery a little bit, because as they say, you know, your town comes under siege occasionally. It depends on celestial mechanics, so if the planets and whatever are in the right alignment, well, this town will be under siege. And yes, if you try and go into the town, you'll go into the siege first. So, cool. And Chris Wolf, aka Seawolf, he's made a post telling us a bit about an update. He says, today I'm going to share what I've been working on this week. There are some screenshots of the upcoming Canyon Bridge siege map. So, in this area, enemies have seized a deteriorated bridge, which was previously under construction, and have set up a war camp from which they can lay siege to a nearby town. So it's not the plains encounter, it's a canyon one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we've done any canyon stuff. That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And it just makes the geography, the location, the tactics maybe, quite a bit different, which will be lovely. So yeah, there we got a lovely screenshot of a bridge. Probably have to fight your way across that.
Yeah, can you imagine? They probably try to throw you off.
Oh yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I wonder how rough the rocks are down there.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of that, I think there was somewhere in the Necropolis where you're running down a path towards the final place, and it's a bit of a rocky path, I found that it was possible to run off the edge, because I was in combat at the time, so you're rushing around, not paying too much attention. It's possible to run off the edge and land in the water below, which is fine. You don't die, but you can't get out.
Oh no, so you're stuck?
Yeah, and I tried using stuck, and evidently the game thought that was a legitimate location, so it sent me back there. So all I could do was log out and go back to the overworld menu.
Oh, that's kind of sort of a bug, I'll bet, then.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, that was a bit of not fun. But so, yeah, landing in water, I mean, apart from dying, it could be dangerous.
And do you take damage if you land in the water, or is it okay?
It seems to reflect on the height you fell from. So I think they're trying to make the game as realistic as possible. If you jump off a 3-foot diving board, well, hey, no worries, who cares? If you jump off a 100-foot high cliff, you'll probably be dead.
That water's pretty hard after all, huh?
Oh yeah, that's right, exactly. So we got some lovely pictures of that bridge. which you'll probably be facing hardened skeletons and liches on it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, like the waterfall, too.
Yeah, it's lovely. They're coming up with fantastic artwork. And there we've got the enemy camp. Yeah, great. And yeah, the foreman shed there. Ah, very nice. So we still probably have to clean out the engineers as before and destroy the balusters.
Yep.
So yeah, and then we get some really nasty guys to face. Or you can sneak around the side if you're feeling not very courageous.
But in order to get into this area, you need to kill them all off, right?
Yeah. Well, according to the blurb, if you enter a siege, if you're trying to enter or exit a town, if you're not feeling like a battle, if you're not feeling very courageous, there is a long route, and you walk around the outside. And you'll find a few patrolmen, but they're not very tough. So you can take the long route, and it's fairly easy, or you can try to go through the middle, but you have to kill everybody.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't want to try that alone, would you?
No, you would not want to try that alone.
As I remember, there were quite a few people involved with those battles. It wasn't just one and two things.
No, that's right. No, I think you'd be pretty quickly overrun if you were on your own.
Oh, yeah. And the bosses are pretty serious.
They are. They're very serious. They're nasty. Oh, well, that's a little bit more variety. And they might even start putting them in more often. You never know.
I wonder if they're coming along on the art for the new bosses. I know they were using a generic lich at one time.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, they cause enough damage, so I don't think they need to revise that.
Yeah, I would have a feeling the new guys will be even worse, just my guess.
Yeah. I mean, that one down at the bottom of the ruins of Ravensmoor, he's a nasty person.
Yeah, he's no fun, especially since he's got a whole army of little skeletons helping him, so it's really not a very fair battle.
That's right. And he seems to have a nasty weapon. He whizzes it around and can take a couple of hundred hit points off you with one stroke.
That's right. Yeah, that's. I remember that. That is not quite fair when that happens.
No. And you say, ouch, that hurt.
Yeah, I need about 5 minutes to heal back up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And the second time, you don't get the chance to say, ouch.
No. You have a chance to say, hi, Ankh.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, such fun. Anyway, they give us stuff to do, and it's nice to have a intimate relationship with the Ankh.
I do. In some areas, I really do. It's quite fun.
Next item.
Okay. Recording again.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we're back after an interesting little timeout. Okay. Next item, the making of Brookside. That's in the Drakveld region in the northwest of Novia, directly south of Spite. Okay, it's the hometown of Samael, which is one of the spirit guides. Yeah, and it was overrun by the undead armies of Anapa not long ago. Players will encounter this town when following their quests along the path of love. Yeah, so that's where good old Samael comes from. It started as a clone scene, yeah, based on the forest off 2002. But in Release 38, it's being rebuilt with new flora, new atmospheric settings like permanent fog. That's lovely.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, a graveyard and other unique features. Note that when we unclone these scenes, we don't change lot placements, just making cosmetic changes. Yes. And Samael, probably not giving too much away, he is pretty upset for a lot of this quest because his wife died. And I think that's where she's buried.
Now, that's not a typo then? His name's Samael, not Samuel?
Yeah, I believe it's not a typo. I think that is his name, yes, Samael.
Oh, that's cool. I've never heard that kind of name. That's good.
No, nor have I. But yeah, there you go. Alrighty, so Sorcerer Steve is back, giving us an update. There's an abandoned manor there, once a luxurious estate, now lying in ruins. A remnant of the undead overrun. We've got a few towns like that on the map, haven't we?
No, they're starting to overrun a lot of our towns.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had to pick through the ruins of Midras as part of a love quest, and that looks a pretty run-down place.
Yeah, I'm wondering how people will feel about all of a sudden their town they live in has fog all over it all the time.
Yeah, that'd be spooky, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might kind of mess up what you had in your yard or something. It'd be harder to see, I don't know.
Yeah, it would. And look at that. Just in the north of Brookside, we've got Wretched Man's Bog. It's a foul-smelling, dank, wet bog. Gee, I wonder what real estate prices are like there.
Yeah, it might be a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Is that a railroad track there, it looks like?
Looks a bit like one, doesn't it?
No, I was just wondering, either kind of a broken bridge or a broken track.
Yeah, yep, could be. There maybe was a railroad there one day.
I haven't seen any trains in Soda yet.
No. Well, I mean, I'm seeing those sorts of tracks for mining carts.
Yeah, those are a little more narrow, though, aren't they?
They are usually, yes. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll have to go and check it out.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, and we've got abandoned buildings litter the outskirts, past signs of the undead overrun. Meanwhile, wheat fields and wind turbines show signs of a town rebuilding and struggling to move forward. Okay, so they're trying to make the best of it.
I wonder if the town changes throughout the eras or if it's just always the same.
Good question. I'm guessing it probably is the same. Okay.
As of now, I bet you in the future they might have some plans to do more about that.
They could do, yes, that's right. But for the moment, how's this for a sales pitch? For those of you wishing to live in a spooky, foggy atmosphere where the fear of the undead overrun looms close, the town of Brookside is the perfect place for you.
That's right.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I can see people just jumping at that.
I wonder what's in that bog. It's probably filled with fun things.
Oh, yes, yes. Evil crocodiles and some other type of horrible creatures that they haven't even thought of building yet.
We don't have any swamp things yet, do we?
No, I don't think we do. No, but I'll bet they're on the list of things to do eventually.
Yeah, plant creatures. Yeah, that's something they could add a few more.
Yes, yeah. Carnivorous plants. Lovely.
Yeah, take a bite out of you. Oh, boy.
Yeah, lovely. Why not? Okay, Brookside is coming in Release 38. It'll be here soon. Nice. Great. And next we have the Perennial Coast improvements. In Release 38, we're moving through all the scenes along the Perennial Coast and updating the flora and architecture to match the new Asian influence we first showed in Arteris during Release 37. So that's great there. Affecting all of the towns in the area, pretty much.
I noticed they put an Asian style there too, so that's cool.
Yeah, they have. Yep, it includes replacing all the exit arches, adding in more bamboo, so they really look like Japanese or Asian constructions. That's great.
That's like one of the first places you go to do some hunting too, so that's good.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Now, the only scene they're not touching in R38 is Celestis. That's getting its own specific uncloning in a future release. They've got plans for that. Nice.
Oh, cool. I haven't been there in a while. That'll be fun.
No, I haven't been there in a long time. See, actually, there's so many places in the game that I haven't been. It's getting to be a bigger and bigger game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've even seen half of what they've put in. I'm just so far behind on my exploration.
Yep. Now, do you remember when they were talking about the offline version? So you've got these three major quests, and it represents a good 40 hours of gameplay. Do you remember them saying something like that?
Yeah, that was always the selling point for the offline game, was the 40 hours of good gameplay.
Yeah. Well, speaking personally, I think that's total rubbish. You would never get there in 40 hours. I wouldn't anyway.
I would venture to guess they're speaking to the really, really fast players, you know, on that. So any normal person would probably take them a couple of weeks at least.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I mean, you'd be looking, if you want to, if you want to take the time and enjoy the exploration, you can enjoy the looking at the world rather than just ignoring everything else and barreling through the three main quests. You're there for hundreds of hours.
Well, that's right. Plus, you know, they don't take into account that you've got to get your armor created and you've got to do a little shopping and a little selling and things like that. It's not just go, 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 go.
That's right. Exactly. So, yeah, I think for most people, that's a gross underestimation. You're going to be there for a long time. But you'll have fun all the way.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about it. That's the good thing about this game. It's, you know, you can do so many different things.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, if you want to get to the end of these quests, you're going to have to be a pretty tough character. And that takes time.
That's right. So you do have to do other things in the game before you finish your storylines.
That's right. Okay. So, anyway, we have some additional screenshots of the Perennial Coast, and yeah, they look pretty nice, don't they?
They do. I really like that they've added some different kind of buildings and structures. It's great.
It's lovely. So, yeah, we've got the entrance there, the statue. That looks just like a Tory gate there. Very nice, and some, yeah, interesting looking statues. Some, yeah, one sitting up, one fallen over. Don't know what that's about, but it looks pretty gloomy and mysterious.
That looks like a different lamp than I've ever seen, too.
Yes, it does. Yes, I think that's a new style they're bringing in. Lovely.
So we can put a little Asian touching on our house now. They put that.
We can. Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, and moving back on again to Xenos. Another post from Scotty. They're revisiting it, and they're going to have it complete by release 38. That'll be really good to look at, too.
Yeah, they've been working on Xenos for how many releases? That's going to be awesome.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And you know that if it takes them this long to do something, it's going to be amazing when they're finished.
That's right. There'll be lots of time for them to put secrets and all kind of things in them for us to find.
That's right. So Scotty says in his post, hello again. That holiday break made it seem like it's been forever since I last posted. Let's take a look at some recent Xenos progress, shall we? He says, as we enter into the central city neighborhoods from West Bay Road, you can already see how my urban renewal project is shaping up. Though surrounded by housing lots ahead and to the right, there's still plenty of room for decorative foliage, tall junipers, and statuary to demarcate areas of interest, such as this crossroads, which spills out onto the newly developed west dockside shoreline. The city's been a port of call for well over 2,000 years or so, since long before the fall of the Shattered Moon, and remnants of the grand stone docks built in antiquity are still in heavy use, as you'll note. My goal for all such areas was to conjure both the grit and the beauty of the ancient populated Greco-Roman shores of our Earth's Aegean Sea. The water we're currently using certainly helps create that illusion. As you'll notice here and there, where it seemed appropriate, I've dotted various areas with some of the new decorative pieces we've purchased and adapted for this region. I'm sure you'll see them migrate to other parts of the world as well. Very nice. Yeah, that looks beautiful, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Another beautiful job done by Scotty.
I reckon. Yeah, and they've just dressed it up so nicely and made it unique.
That's right. All the scenes are going to have their own little flavor now, and that's going to make it all the more fun to explore.
Oh, it is. And he says, I've also begun to give a bit of love to the Elysian Heights neighborhood area on the hill overlooking downtown. The Overlook Point, with its grand colonnade, now has a new fountain feature. Yeah, you can see that there. That's lovely. And the yards bordering the nearby housing lots have been manicured a bit to show that the city builders have an eye for the fine aesthetics they believe will please the elite who choose to make their homes there. Here too, the older ruins, while being cleaned up of rubble and debris, have been allowed to remain, accenting the gracefully tall trees and colourful flowering plants. Statues from several ages of Xenos' culture gaze down upon its joyful residents and visitors alike, and one can always expect to find a beautiful old rotunda or small formal garden tucked away here and there. Lovely.
That's gorgeous.
Now there's some screenshots, and gee, they are really something else, aren't they?
Oh, I love it. I love the way the path goes up a hill, and you've got all these nice broken ruins along it. It's cool.
It is indeed. And heading back down to the area of the Forum of the Lottery again, you'll note a few improvements here as well. The somewhat barren area beyond the main gate has now been fully fleshed out with winding pathways, a variety of flora, and various objects of art. He must have been working on this for weeks.
Apparently.
These paths lead directly into the central part of the downtown district and through the Forum's seating area itself, which has seen a few additions as well, to help drive home the opulent and festive nature of the proceedings held there, and for which hopeful visitors have travelled so far to see. Really going to have to find out what this lottery is all about, now, won't we?
That's true. We don't really know much about it yet.
No. Okay, and finally he says, the hour is late, and it's time for me to journey home for the night, so I'll leave you with this last evening's image of nighttime as it settles over the west road leading down from the heights and toward the Elysian Plains. There will be perhaps one more set of these previews before the final details are done, and the whole scene is ready to go into the update. Nice. Hopefully you'll be pleased when the city transforms before your very eyes. Excellent.
Yeah, good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Making of Blood Bay continued. Looking forward to that one, too. Sort of.
Yeah. And that's kind of a dangerous little exploration game, Mac.
Ah, it is. A PvP area, two towns, housing, adventuring, underground. Scary. Okay, now this is from Travis Koleski. He's added a couple of dungeon entrances. He's worked on the volcano visual effects, yeah. Lava flow rivers are still works in progress, so they're not shown. And some other miscellaneous points of interest. Very good. And there's a kobold dungeon entrance there. Nice.
Cool.
And a fall dungeon. Yeah, don't know what that's going to be all about. That'll be another interesting place to explore. And hopefully to survive.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. We have the virtuous side of town. As they say, nothing like having a good drink while you watch a filthy pirate hang. Lovely. An updated volcano plume. That looks pretty spectacular, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, I love the volcano. It's really spewing out. It's great.
That is. Yeah. And a Zeppelin dock. Very, very nice indeed. That's lovely.
Yeah, I can't wait to see those things flying around. That's so cool.
That'll be great to visit and explore. And we'd probably be best to empty our pockets before we go there, otherwise we'll get them picked.
Empty your pockets and maybe do away with any spare stuff in your inventory, because if you die, you'll lose it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dear. Okay. All right. Now, we can pre-order Richard Garriott's memoir, Explore Create, to receive $20 off Shroud of the Avatar. That's very nice, isn't it?
Well, it's great for new players. They can get half price there.
That's for sure. So, the publisher of Richard Garriott's memoir is running a promotion with Richard with Shroud of the Avatar right here. So there's a link there. Just follow that link and you'll be in. So when you pre-order this memoir, Explore, Create, you'll receive $20 off his new RPG. So yeah, as you said, if you're not a player already, if you know any friends who want to get into it, and if they're interested in this book, well, just order the book and $20 off the entry price.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a good way to get some new people in.
Absolutely. And yeah, he's done a lot, Richard Garriott has. He's plumbed the depths of the Atlantic Ocean to see the remains of the Titanic. So he's been down almost as far as you can go. He's hunted for meteorites in Antarctica. And in 2008, became one of the first private citizens to be launched into space. So he's sort of gone up as far as you can go.
Yeah, he's done a lot of traveling. That's cool.
He certainly has. So combining the new guiding tenets of his life, exploration and creation, he now invites us on this great adventure that is his life and introduces us to the wondrous and magical in the world around us, including our own backyards. That'd be a fascinating book to get, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like that. I didn't know he was writing that. That's cool.
That's awesome. Excellent. Okay, I wish him every success in that. That's brilliant. Okay, now for some exciting stuff. In MMO Games, Shroud won the best crowdfunded online game of 2016. How's that?
That's a huge accomplishment. I wonder who they're going against.
It is. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm not sure who they were going against. A lot of this happened while I was away, and I was sort of only semi-connected. Because we had a very weak Wi-Fi connection, and virtually no mobile phone coverage where we were.
Oh, so you didn't even see the news or anything for that whole time?
Well, no, we had satellite TV, so that was all right. But yeah, the phone connection was very poor.
So absolutely no Shroud of the Avatar, huh?
No, that was a tragedy.
Yeah.
Well, never mind. But it's been nice to get back to it.
Well, that's the bright side. You can always go back to it.
That's right. So, they say here, many online games these days go down the crowdfunding route with the likes of Kickstarter and Indiegogo. While we do sometimes hear horror stories of how the devs took the money and ran, thankfully these instances are rare and we have plenty of games from the crowdfunded sector to look forward to, but which is the best? Okay, these are the games that show continuous progress towards being a complete game that we see enter into public testing phases and moving forward and maintaining communities of passionate fans. Well, I'd say Shroud ticks the box on all of those, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I think it's awesome.
Yep, absolutely. And the crowdfunding campaigns don't necessarily have to have occurred this year so long as they have been crowdfunded. And I sort of caught up peripherally, like after it had finished. It was a voting competition. You could log in and vote. And all I can say is Shroud has a lot of passionate supporters, and that's exactly as it should be.
That's right. The people that play this game are very dedicated.
They certainly are. And they love the game, and they love the community, and that's awesome.
And that's how it should be. You know, if you're playing a game with passion, you're enjoying the game.
That's for sure. Okay, so big kudos and congratulations to Shroud for winning that. And not only, but also, it's been nominated for the most wanted MMO of 2017. Isn't that great?
Wow, that's another awesome thing there.
It is. So it's been nominated. You have until Tuesday, January the 10th to vote. And there is a link so you can log in and say, yes, I believe this is the most wanted MMO of 2017.
Now, I'll bet you there's some stiff competition on that one.
I think there would be, yeah, that's right. And the people from MMORPG said, we've taken the games we expect to come out in some form, even early access this year, have combined them all into a poll where you and your peers will decide what 2017's most anticipated MMO should be. If the game's not included, it's because we don't think it stands a chance at launching or hitting early access this calendar year. And in brackets, they say, maybe next year, Star Citizen.
Poor Star Citizen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hasn't that had so much hype? And they've sunk, what, 20 million into it or more?
Well, that one's over 100 million, and even guys at my work talk about it, so it's pretty popular.
Wow. 100 million, that is huge dollars. That's incredible. And they're not even hitting early access. I think we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I heard rumor they were thinking about switching game engines on it and everything. They're really having trouble.
Oh, dear. That's pretty sad. I mean, you don't like to see people running into trouble, especially on a huge project like that. You just want to see it succeed. So I hope they do.
Yeah, it makes a bad name for all crowdfunded games, so we do want it to succeed.
That's right. But anyway, if you'd like to support Shroud, voting will be open until January the 10th. Take stock of the list they've got there. Obviously, Shroud is on the list. Awesome. And cast a vote. The future of the MMO genre depends on it. Oh, well, maybe just our page view count. That's a bit funny. Okay. And we have new Shogun bundles in the add-on store. Isn't that great?
Oh, great. We can all dress up that way. That's cool.
Yeah, if you want to dress up like a traditional Japanese Shogun, they look pretty nice too, don't they?
Yeah, that's a very nice outfit. Good job.
I wonder what sort of protection that would give you, whether it would be comparable to cloth or leather or what.
It almost looks like either leather or chain.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Now, if it had a low fizzle count, I'd be interested in it.
Well, generally the stuff you buy in the add-on store is not really that great for your actual going out and battling, is it?
That's true, yeah, that's true. It's nice decoration and nice to wear around and impress people. But yeah, if you're wanting to go out and do serious combat, yeah, you're best to make something yourself or get some clever person to make it for you.
Well, have you seen that sparkle dye they've got now?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, looks I bought Majoria a bunch of it because she was just going crazy. It's just gorgeous.
It's wonderful. And yeah, isn't it great that the game's starting to diversify already? Some people are keen on PvP, some are keen on going out and slaying monsters, and some just love the crafting side of it, and they're becoming really, really good at it.
Oh yeah, it's really awesome, and I feel like I've got a slight advantage because now that they've made it harder to get recipes, I'm already kind of set up because I've already learned everything.
Oh, you wonderful man. That's great.
Well, I was playing around with too much stuff, and my book is full, and I know there's probably new ones, but I've just got so much.
That's fantastic. Good on you. That's a real advantage because, hey, they charge you for anything these days.
Yes, they are. Plus, you can't even buy them all. You have to find some of them, from what I hear.
That's true, yes. Yeah. Yeah, some of the recipes, you just have to search them out from somewhere in the game.
And I like that, but I'll have to find out if I need to do that with some things.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and also in the add-on store, as you mentioned, Shogun wall lights. Look at that.
Ooh, that's totally cool. I like that light.
It is totally cool. Yes. So if you want to give your house or your dwelling a sort of an Asian influence, there's the place to go and pick up a few of those.
I love those for the basement too. They give off such good light.
Oh, they do. I bought myself a whole bunch of the ornate wall lights, and honestly, they are so much better than a wall torch.
They look better, they give off more light. Yeah, they're awesome.
That's right. Yeah, I'm not stumbling around in the basement anymore.
Yeah, that basement, it's still dark. I don't think they lighted it up at all.
No. No, but they're great. Okay, upcoming events. Well, here we go. January 26th is our next release. Can we hold out until then?
Yeah, it's not too far away. I mean, we're just barely onto this one.
Yeah. And I noticed they've been busy already. Even after taking the Christmas break, they've put out another patch, which is lovely.
Fix more stuff, that's good.
Yep. Yeah, not big fixes, but one that I really appreciate. Really makes a difference. They said they fixed something that resulted in a number of spells and skills not working properly, especially rapid fire.
Oh, okay, that's good then.
Oh, yes, because apparently it was happening a lot when there were a lot of people in the instance. Don't understand how or why, but it even happened to me a few times on an intermittent basis when I might have been the only person around, I'm not sure. You hit the rapid fire glyph and you see little pictures on the screen of your arrows flying off in all directions, and the enemy just stands there grinning at you. You haven't hit him once.
Well, that's not good.
No, not good at all. You don't even register one hit. And I thought, no, this is bad. So yes, it was a bug, and it looks as if it's been fixed, because I just dabbled in the mines just a little while ago. And yes, rapid fire seems to be working again.
Well, that's good, so you can probably be a lot stronger again.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, you can hit people more reliably, which is always comforting.
And more damage is always better.
Oh, it is, it is. So, release 39 in February. The Ultimate Dragon's 25th anniversary event, February 25. February 28, we've got a GDC Community Management Summit. Very nice. March 17, SSXW Gaming. Oh, they're going to talk about, is video game early access too early? Nice philosophical talking point.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Release 40 on the 30th of March. A spring telethon in April sometime. Release 41 on April 27. Release 42 on May 25. And release 43 on June 29. Wow.
Still no word about launch. So interesting.
No, nothing yet. Gee, I hope it comes soon.
Yeah, I guess my guess was way off.
Yeah, I think most of our guesses have been way off, haven't they?
Well, anybody didn't say December, I think it's off.
That's right. Oh, boy. Okay. Visit the community calendar to see what's happening and the release events thread in the forums. The event of the week is the Janus Creation Contest, sponsored by roleplayersoftheavatar.com. Now, that is an amazing website, and it's attracting an awful lot of talent. So please have a look at that, and they offer amazing prizes, and the suggestion is put in some stories, timeline entries, journal entries, whatever, and they have a theme every month. The theme is the surprise birthday party, you've been ambushed, or Daedalus Day. Oh, nice.
That's cool.
And the grand prize is a $70 art commission from Indie Martin Art. Now, that would be wonderful for anybody.
Yes, her art is awesome. I can't wait to see what she comes up with on the next one.
It is, absolutely. So, yes, they're holding monthly contests to award those most famous with their quill, camera, piano, or lute. So, whatever you want to contribute, that's creative, they'd love to have it. Fantastic. And there's a link there. Elgarion runs this site, and it is absolutely amazing. Beautiful. And next on the list, we have a community spotlight of Styx, which is a player-owned town. I've never been to Styx.
No, me neither.
No.
Still just like the band name, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was associated, you know?
Well, it could be. Because let's face it, people bring to the game a distillation of their lives. And when they're thinking up of names for themselves, for their character, for their town, for whatever, they're going to draw on their experience. So hey, it could have a reference there. Who knows?
Yeah, I like it. It's cool.
That's great. Okay, it is a small island. It's located off the shores of Elysium, and it's a short boat ride from the bustling city of Xenos. So once you've gone to Xenos, it's just a hop and a step to Styx. It's only a short history, as a small and vibrant farming community. Delivering much-needed supplies to the resource-heavy Southern Isle, it offers respite to travel, weary adventurers, and exhausted miners. Now, with the late Duke Caron's passing, his merchant son Castigir returned from sea to assess his newly acquired estate and title. It had been many years since he'd called this land home, and the island felt almost unknown to him on his return. Castigir Garin, the town governor, waved from the city wall as I disembarked a mainland ferry. The journey was short, but the sea was choppy due to the storm, and I was glad to be on dry land. "Hello, welcome to Styx," Castigir exclaimed as he shook me by the hand. "Come, you must be soaked. I have arranged food and board at the Ferryman Inn. We can see the sights in the morning when the weather has cleared. It's going to be a fine day tomorrow." "Hey, it's nice if you can predict the weather a day ahead." "That's awesome. It was almost pitch black when I first arrived during the storm. I could barely make out the path beneath my feet and a handful of faint silhouetted buildings as I was led to the inn. Sure enough, morning came and the storm lifted. We met back at the main gate and began the tour." Nice picture there, isn't that lovely?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
"Yeah, during the warmth of the next day, the town looked entirely different. The merchants returned from their lodgings to begin trading at the communal crafting area. It's located right by the docks," Castigir explained. "It's important that we can load the goods we produce onto the merchant ships as soon as they arrive. Delays cost money, after all, and we can't have that." "Wow, it's a beautiful town," I proclaimed. "You clearly take great pride in its appearance. Is there anything special you'd like to tell me about it?" "Well, yes, I'm glad you asked," he grinned. "Styx is a hostel town, designed for new and existing avatars who don't have a place to call home yet. Having a home to secure your hard-earned loot and grow crops is important. Farming for a little extra coin can make Britannia a much less daunting place." "As it does." "Interesting, I'm sure there's a catch. How often does it rain?" I gestured as I asked. "No catch," he said. "Avatars new and old are welcome to pick a property and stay for as long as they require. For free, of course. Isn't that awesome?"
"That's a good deal."
"That's a very good deal. You can't get better than that." "I only ask that they use it, as else it'll be freed up for someone else more needing." "So the question, you mentioned farming as we first talked about the town. I love farming. What do you offer here for goods?" And he said, "Well, Styx has a very large communal farm that's open to all residents. It operates on a fair use policy. If it's not being used, then you're free to use it." That's brilliant, isn't it?
It is. Good idea there.
That's great. "There are plenty of crops grown all across the town, though my personal favorite are the radishes." "Really? Do you know of anything radishes are good for?"
Not in any recipes we have so far that I've seen.
"No. I mean, I've seen them on a salad. But, yeah, I haven't seen them in a recipe. Okay.
Same. I've never seen used for grapes either. You can grow those."
"Oh, true. There you go. I wonder if they're going to introduce winemaking."
"Oh, you know what? That's a good thought. Yeah, I probably should get a stash of grapes. That's a good thought."
"Yep, there you go. You start your vineyard."
"That's right. They were talking about brewing coming up sometime. So, yeah. Aha." Uh-huh.
"They were. There you are. Barley in one field, hops in another, and wine and grapes in another.
You don't brew wine, though, do you?"
"No, you don't. No. You don't brew it. You ferment it, I think."
"Ah, okay. Ooh, that sounds like another kind of craft."
"Yes. Yes. There you go. Look. You could supply all the hotels."
"Ooh, yeah, we'll need to do that. I got a couple of inns to deal with in our town, so it'll be good."
"Right, okay. Come," he said, "the view from the top is quite lovely." True enough, a short trek to the top of the windmill was rewarded with some outstanding views of the town. "Lovely. And a question? Impressive. What can you tell me about the residents of Styx? Who is welcome here?" "Well," he says, "the last count I had was about half a dozen boarders, so not a very big town. So the very nature of what I'm offering here means the residents are generally transient. New avatars stay for a short period until they find guilds or raised enough funds to afford a place of their own. At the peak, we were offering homes to at least a dozen avatars. Those times were busy, he continued, as he gazed off toward the farms. Who's welcome? Well, anyone really. As long as they truly need a place to stay. Well, except pirates, of course, those untrustworthy scallywags. Yeah. So that is a very brilliant and a very generous offer because, hey, new players in the game. They've got nowhere to call home, nowhere to put their stuff. This could be the ideal solution for them.
Oh, yeah, it's great that there's so much extra land that people are willing to just let people use if they want it.
That's great. It's wonderful. Okay, so indeed, the hustle and bustle of cities can be hectic at times, but it tends to be safe from pirates you speak about. So what does Styx offer? Well, he says, I think Elysium, the isle that Styx resides upon, is entirely charming from one end to the other. It's a beautiful area of the world and offers amazing mining and adventuring opportunities. Styx is in a great location, with Xenos, the artifice, and Elysium Mines only a stone's throw away. I tell you what, the Elysium Mines is a great place. You really get gold and silver out of there.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite places to go mining.
It's beautiful, yep. I mean, the kobolds are a little bit irritating. We just slap them around occasionally.
Yeah, them and the hardened skeletons, I don't like them either.
Oh, no. No, they can be vicious, can't they?
They can, and I'm trying to remember which mine it is, but there's that guy that wanders around, that loathsome slaver or something.
The loathsome traveler, yes.
Yeah, he's a nasty boy.
He is, yes. He comes equipped with about 600 or 700 hit points.
Yeah, sometimes he'll take me because I'm not really ready for him, because you got to prepare for that battle.
Yeah, nasty one. Okay, so you just have to watch out for the pirates, he says. So, your residents look to have a bright future in Styx, pirates notwithstanding. What's your hope for the town as the area becomes a major hub of trade? Well, he says, it's in a good place right now. It's one of a handful of villages offering free community housing to players. As New Britannia itself matures, I look forward to adding even more residences, decorations, and delights to our town. If interested in becoming part of the Styx community, please find me in the town or message me in the community forums. Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea.
That's awesome.
Great. And there is a holiday party in Port Illyrium. Nice.
Wow, they haven't got their celebrations done yet, huh?
No. No, let it be known far and wide that a grand holiday party will be held at the Port Illyrium Studios and in Shroud of the Avatar on Wednesday, January 11, 2017, I hope.
Oops, yeah, it was 16.
Yeah, a small typo there. Okay, we're going to say it's 2017.
Yeah, we already missed it. 16.
Yeah, we're just a little bit late for 2016, but never mind. Okay, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central, that's, you know, 2300 to 0400 UTC, or Greenwich Mean Time, lovely. It's completely planned, hosted, and paid for by the player community. That's wonderful.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we've got some great players and supporters.
They're all so generous, they just shock me.
That's right, I know. That's wonderful. So the Port Illyrium team thanks you so much here. This means a great deal to them, and they're very excited to be celebrating with you during this event. So to attend either on-site at Port Illyrium or celebrate online, please RSVP. If you're able to get there in the flesh, they'd love to see you. If you're able to join them online, they'd love to see you as well.
That's always cool to see the community members.
Ah, it is. It's great. Okay, community resources, players helping players. So yes, the New Player Welcome Forum and the Player Created Resources Forum, the places to go. Any questions you have, any confusion, anything that you don't understand about the game, somebody is there to help you, and they will help you. And projects to back, they're talking about Crowfall. This has been mentioned a couple of times. you have the opportunity to actually invest in it. Instead of just backing it and getting rewards, you can invest in the company. And like anything, if the company makes a profit, you make a profit, and that's great.
That's fun to play a game where you're maybe going to make a profit. That's cool.
That would be awesome. You'd be really keen on going and telling all your friends about it too, wouldn't you?
Oh, that's for sure, because it's benefiting you.
That's right. Yeah, come on, please buy 100 copies of this game, because I've invested in this.
Its success is my success. Yay.
That's right. Yes. And my financial planner and my banker told me not to do it, but I'm determined to prove them wrong. So yeah, go and buy 6 copies.
Yeah, I always said one day I'm going to make money having fun.
Now, that would be the ultimate success, wouldn't it? Making money by having fun. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, it's kind of like the singers and the movie stars. They get to have fun and make money. Hey, it's our turn.
That's right, it is. Okay, good. So check it out. There's a link there. And yeah, that's their flagship title, Crowfall. And it sounds like a pretty interesting, fairly vicious, and a little bit scary game.
I've seen some demos of it. It does look pretty pretty rough. It's like lots of killing going on.
Oh, okay, right. So this is not polite, gentlemanly gameplay.
No, it's like being in PvP zones all the time, I believe.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, well, I wouldn't do very well there.
Not me either.
No. Okay. All right. Last and certainly, I hope, least, backer shipping addresses. If you haven't done it yet, please do it. Put your address in your account profile page so they can hopefully soon ship you lots of lovely physical goodies. And you'll have a nice map to put up on the wall or something like that.
We're looking forward to our map. So we're just talking about that. It's like, can't wait to get my map.
That's for sure. Okay. And that would be the news of the week.
All right. Good stuff.
So it is nice to get back into a new year. I've got a good feeling about this year. I think good things are going to happen in 2017.
Yes. You just noticed there's getting a lot of stuff done on the remakes of all the cities. That's kind of what's taking all their time right now. Then maybe they can start working on some other things, like some new quests and some new creatures and things like that.
Yes, and I think I'm correct. I think I remember hearing them say, maybe during the last Hangout, that they are about 80% of the way through the essential parts, which by definition means there's only 20% to go. And they also said the pace was going to be quite frenetic towards the end. So all of those are possibly encouraging statements.
Well, they've hired quite a few new helpful people, right? So that helps.
They have, yeah. With some extra developers, with some extra artists and programmers and stuff, they can get the job done quickly. If they know what they're doing, and if they've got a plan, and they can say, okay, now we're ready for this, and this, and this, and this, and this, get to work. It'll be done in no time.
That's right. And especially when they've got everything kind of figured out, and so they can just focus on it. It's good.
Oh, yes. It's fantastic. And once you have the stuff ready, and you know what you're doing, it's easy. I just had this experience only yesterday, the day before, for this. We just had a little birthday party at our place for a little one-year-old granddaughter that was absolutely gorgeous, and lots of preparation went into it. It was absolutely spectacular. And the son and daughter-in-law, they said, Dad, can you, we've got some video for you. Can you put it together for us and have it running through the party? I said, yeah, that's fine, no worries. So they bring it over a day or two beforehand, all shot on their mobile phones. Now, I will say that mobile phones do really, really good video these days. It was great stuff. It was lovely. Only a couple of small problems. It was on a hard drive formatted in Mac format, and PCs don't talk to Macs.
No, it's a pain.
Yeah, it is a pain. And I thought, okay, there must be a way to do this. It turns out there was. You just have to download some program so that, oh yes, I can see those files. That's great. I can import them into the computer. Yes, that's great. Done that. Good. And then the editing program that I was using doesn't talk to MOV files. It doesn't understand them. Ah, no.
Oh, no. So,
yes. So 70 or so files I had to transform from MOV files to MP4s.
That's right. MOV, that's is that the Apple format?
That's the that's the Apple format. Yeah. So once I got that done, and I had them listed in order of shooting, then I knew what I was doing, and it was easy from then on.
Well, that's good. Once you have it in your software, there you're back in business.
That's right. Yes. Once I had them all sorted in a form that I could use them, it was just a matter of plop, 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 plop. Away you go. Yeah, there you go. It's done.
You didn't lose any resolution or anything in the conversion, did you?
No, didn't. No, they looked exactly the same. It came out really well.
That's awesome. So that just goes to prove you can use your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever and do the same thing.
You can indeed, yes. And yeah, as I said, the iPhones, they make wonderful pictures these days, whether it's still or video. They do a darn good job.
Oh yeah, that's when I have something to do at work with pictures, I have the guy with the iPhone do it, because those iPhones, they have some serious video on them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And I just dropped a little bit of music underneath it, and yeah, they're pretty happy with it.
Oh, that's awesome. So they got a little was that a first birthday memories?
Yeah. It was essentially charting her progress through the year with a whole bunch of video clips, so you could see her growing up and getting more gorgeous, of course.
Of course. That is so cool they can do that now. I remember when I was a kid, I got no videos of myself when I was a kid. It's just so cool kids can have that now.
Ah, look, when we were young, you're lucky to have a photograph because you have to, you know, get some film and then take it away to be developed. And when it comes back, you realize that now you overexposed it or it didn't turn out right or stuff like that. Nowadays, it's all digital. You see it instantly. You can take 25 shots and just keep the one you want. It's lovely.
Yeah, if you don't get your old photos all scanned up, they're going to kind of deteriorate. I've noticed that about some of my old pictures.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yes, that's right. So that's something to watch out for if you've got old photos.
Oh, it is. But definitely good times nowadays. You know, you're really excited to find an old recording of yourself. And these guys got videos. It's so cool.
I know. They will have so much to look forward to when they grow up and see these little memories. Mind you, by the time they grow up, everything could be 3D holographic stuff.
That's true. This will all be outdated by then.
Oh, I know. I say, what? You really did that back in your day?
What is this thing you've got to hold in your hand and move? Oh, how boring.
That's right. I mean, you know, we just put these glasses on and we can see anything in the world around us and, you know, in 3D and, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I'm going to look, I think I'm going to be, by the time that comes out, I'll be so old, it's like, oh, you kids with your new technology.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. All right, well, I guess we better get back into the game, see what we can find and explore, and have a wonderful new year, everybody. Hope it's a great one. Hope it's a lot better than the year that's just gone. I think 2016 was a bit ordinary in many ways for a lot of people.
Yeah, we're looking for a bright 2017, and Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Absolutely.
So I'll take us out here. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast music, and events possible, please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.